In all of the panels and storm sessions, and I'll especially point it out for this one, it's not so much that we have experts up front, though in many cases that's true. Everyone who is here, who has come to the conference, has ideas on all of the topics that we're covering. And I'm sure that everyone sitting in here has ideas regarding presenting spirituality to a mixed crowd. So we want this to be a discussion as much as a presentation, perhaps even more so. So as we go around with some of the opening questions and beginning the discussion, please feel free to raise your hand and jump in as needed. Let's go through some introductions first. Why don't you start? Just who you are and what some of your background and interest in this is.
My name is Liz Tilly, and I talk really loud without a microphone. I have a fairly well-developed sort of spiritual practice, and it's a really big part of my life, and it's something that I have had interest in seeing integrated into my social life more, and I've had a lot of experience practicing, doing my spiritual practice in large groups, but never in, or rarely in a more kind of rave-oriented situation, but I think that there's a lot of room for that in our community, since we all know how to raise a lot of energy and like to have sort of good feelings with one another, and I think there's room for expansion in that area, and it interests me.
Yeah, that works.
Hi, I'm Vanessa, a.k.a. Minx, and I've been creating altars and creating some ritual work with friends and family and Sweet and a bunch of other people for some years now, and working with Radiant Atmosphere is now doing big projects, especially for Berlin now, for Berlin now, so. And it's really nice to be here to share this conversation with you all, and I really, like JD says, hope it evolves into a conversation. You guys can take these mics if you want. but yeah, that's what I've been doing, and that's what I hope to be continuing to do with y'all for a while. Okay.
And if anyone saw the movie Groove, there's a few close-ups on altar pieces. Those are all Vanessa's.
My name is Sam. Just a little bit about background. I participate in a shamanic community. We do kind of a day-long dance ceremony, which is sort of like the flip side of the coin of an all-night ceremony, an all-night dance of society. I'm also a member of the Sufi Healing Order, and we do a lot of ceremonial work with that as well. Plus, I teach Shotokan karate, the very traditional martial arts dojo where I recently have health reasons. But all of these are all very ceremony-based traditional practices, and I find it really fascinating to see how that can be applied in a rave dance setting. And so the last few years I've been participating in the Liberty Society, and I'm extrapolating that into how we can go about applying ceremony in dance.
I'm Peyton, your co-facilitator with JD, and I think I found a ritual a couple years ago, mostly through the psychedelic trance community here in the Bay Area, and have just recently kind of come into a sort of mindfulness about it, and very much just really appreciate when people get together and acknowledge that they are together to talk about something, that kind of openness that we talk about, just taking that and describing it in more sacred terms.
And my name is J.D. Falk. I'm as everyone was talking, I started thinking a little bit more about how I've been involved in this stuff. And, you know, when I was really young, most of my life, my parents have been involved with the Transcendental Meditation community. They got involved there before I was born. And I was exposed to the Hindu puja, which is a combination, I think, of altar and ceremony from a very young age. And I actually hadn't really thought about the connection between that and what we're doing here very much until just now. Yeah. So to start out, let me throw a question to the panel. What are some of the aspects of ritual that appear to be universally meaningful or understandable to everyone who might be participating? Big question, perhaps.
I think everybody does ritual. Whether you think you do ritual or you consider yourself in that context at all, you probably have rituals. If you're thinking ritual of something that you do repeatedly to enact change, for an example that we were talking about earlier, if you set your alarm clock, this doesn't sound familiar to me. If you're going to set your alarm clock to make sure you get to work on time, and you do that repeatedly, and it actually makes you get to work on time for a change, then you've affected that change, and that's one of your rituals. Everybody's got them. So it can be something as simple as that. I think, I'm rambling.
No, go ahead.
I think it's also, if there's something you do, if there's an action you do over time, it takes on another meaning. You're creating a ritual. It has another meaning there. You've created a ritual out of something that had a prior meaning. Hoping that's making sense.
I wanted to add to that a little bit and mention that in an actual spiritual context, I'm talking about ritual, that's an excellent definition of ritual, but taking into the spiritual realm might be creating a sense of spirit, to me, in my definition, something that connects us all and brings us together. So a spiritual ritual might be something that gives us a sense of that connection, something like holding hands or looking in everyone's eyes or in some way together or raising our voices together in song or doing something that reminds us of our spiritual connection. This to me is spiritual.
I can also see within ritual and ceremony the idea of affecting a healing change, and doing that by putting an intention. And for me, what I see is that the process of healing is a process of letting go of those things that those wounds that we have, and letting them release themselves. That can be effective in an online dance ceremony, in an online dance party, by declaring an intention, creating a container, and allowing yourself to step from your mundane way of seeing things and step into your spirit and into, I don't know, what you call your dream or your metaphysical self. And adjust that within that sacred context of that dance and that overall ceremony container, so that you can then access and affect those parts of your internal structure that are ready to be led from. So that's what's the ceremony working in that context.
So adding with these ideas in mind of bringing everyone together and creating a healing space, the other concepts that have been brought up just now, it is, as everyone here knows, I'm sure, it is common to have rituals at the beginning of an event or at the end of an event or at the middle of an event or every other hour or whatever. and so with the presumption that that a group has decided to do one of these rituals in their party, what are some of the things that that the organizers of the event or of the ceremony itself would want to think about to make it accessible to everyone, including people who might not have experienced ritual before or might not be expecting it there?
I think that the first thing... I really don't like it. It sounds really creepy. Can you hear me in the back? Okay. So, one of the things that I think is exceedingly important is that people don't enter into a party not expecting a ritual, because I think that people, like Guli was talking about transparency earlier, I think that's really essential. There needs to be transparency in intention and action, and if you are planning a party that has a spiritual component, that, you know, as an organizer of such an event, you're obliged to make that known so that people are not surprised, you know, aren't in a situation that makes them exceedingly uncomfortable or that they really don't want to be in. And that way, if they need to find out, you know, what's it going to be, then they can contact people. And I just think that explaining the ritual also before you do it and what, just even in a cursory fashion, just people... I think people, I anyway, feel much more comfortable when I'm in a situation that is at least a semi-known quantity, like that it has been described to me somewhat, you know, not in excruciating detail, but I think that is very, very important to help people be open to what's going on and to feel like they have agency over their own experience.
So basically setting the intent before the ritual.
Yeah.
As well as within the
ritual. And then reiterating it and expanding on it within the context of the ritual, but that people, yeah, I think that the intent is very important that people know beforehand.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point, too, because I think it draws people, if you set an intention, let's say we set an intention for an event of praying for world peace, then we bring people together to that event who want to pray for world peace. And so I think the power of bringing those people together that share the same intention willingly and cooperatively will empower the entire ceremony. So that's a good reason for establishing communication about your intention. And then also perhaps the timing of the ritual, when it's going to be, how long it's going to be, that sort of thing, so that people can plan on it, whether it's mandatory for the ceremony or whether it's highly recommended, you know, what its relationship is to the overall ceremony. Again, communication is an honoring of the unity in everyone, and expressing that unity to other people is helpful for them to make the decisions for whether they want to participate.
Let's jump out real quick. Karen had a question?
Actually, no. I have a comment, and it actually ties on to what you were saying, Julia, about just telling people when the ritual is going to be, how long it's going to be. It is so important for people to be able to hear. The worst rituals I've ever experienced are the ones where there's somebody in the middle of a circle talking, and no one can hear what they're saying, and you don't know what you're supposed to do. And instead of creating a container and creating safety and bringing two people together, people are left with this, yuck, what the hell just happened to me? So it's really important. It seems real basic, but a lot of people, some groups miss that.
Or the beats are bleeding into the next room,
and the mic doesn't work, or you don't have one, or something like that. But yeah, that's just super important. Get everybody on the same page.
Another comment back here?
I think intention is really important, but often people will come to participate in community, rather than to pray for world peace, for instance. think another important aspect is providing alternative participation so that people have like something that they can do either by themselves or sort of acknowledge that you don't have to participate in this. But really allowing people to enter into it on their own volition as opposed to feeling pressure.
I do think that's a different type of event. There are events for which there is an intention and people come together to pray for that intention. And there are events which are looser in nature, more communal, a community building event, in which a ritual would typically be less you know, a part of it. It would be more like a, oh, let's get together and hold hands and have fun, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, you can participate in it or not. But if you call an event or a ceremony specifically for a purpose, then for someone not to participate in that is almost like, well, why exactly are we here? You know, it's, there needs to be, I think that perhaps there needs to be a communication about the type of event it is, whether it's a, you know, a real intentional event, or whether it's a community building event. And that's an excellent point. You know, there have been plenty of wonderful events, which are community building events, and that's the main purpose. And in that sort of context of participating in ritual, not necessarily.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I see part of the challenge is doing events that are all-night dancing or room and phone, in which there is an expectation of some sort of ceremonial content, but you also have people who don't necessarily want to participate in that. And for me, part of the challenge for us in the Rhythm Society, and the people I talk to who are doing that, is how to create a ceremony that people can optionally participate in. And the flip sort of side of that is how to also create a ceremony that people can participate in, as opposed to just one person standing up and one or two people talking and everybody else is just listening, and not having it be such a preaching thing, but really a participatory thing that people can either opt into or opt out of.
Speaking of participation, there's a question back here. Thank you.
but also just having that hand held out to you, that invitation to join, that it's in a non-threatening way, and in a way that's approachable, that it seems very simple and natural, I found that ended up with there being more and more people holding hands and running in a circle, and less people just standing there watching, mostly just because they weren't sure what was happening and how to be part of it. So I don't know that necessarily exactly translates into more elaborate or more complicated rituals or deeper kind of, you know, spiritual things that you want to present to a mixed crowd. But for something simple like that, in a very mixed context like a club night, it really works just to grab someone's self.
What are some of the other things? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, just two comments. I give the meridians parties, and which are large, 1,500 people sometimes. And we always try and do ritual in the middle of that. And sometimes it works. It works well, and sometimes it just doesn't work at all. And what we've generally found is that when it works, we have a great container in the facility, and that the facility allows us to do that. And obviously the club scene is difficult because there's a lot of alcohol, which really drains the ritual, particularly if the party gets started earlier rather than late. And that's difficult, and we're trying to eliminate that. But the other thing, the other thing around that was the idea that the size of the crowd makes a huge difference. And we found that we can contain ritual with about 700 to 800 people. But as we went above that, it just became extremely difficult. No matter what we did, no matter what kind of sound system we put in so it could be heard, just there were that many more people who were not interested in what was going on the fringe, and it would break down the ceremony. Just a couple of comments.
Could you give an example of what kind of ritual could draw in 7 or 8 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, the ones
that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. The ones that have worked well is we would get everyone situated on the floor, and of course you don't have a facility where you could sit that many people down, and you got them into a space of your own that brought a quietness to the hall where you could begin to actually then activate the ceremony. We have ritual burnings that would create something in the middle that would be have fire and other action. You can have everyone hold hands, but you can't get 700 people up and have them circulating and wandering around the room. The only way it really worked was just to get everyone down, settle, quiet, and then have something that they could all see going on in the middle.
I participate in a practice that public planning, and it's basically a practice of witches and it started on the West Coast here. And every year for Samhain, which is Halloween, there is a giant ritual at Fort Mason, and there's last year there was 1,500 people, and we were doing a spiral dance, and it was actually a double spiral that there was two centers, and they pass each other, it's all in one line, but it's two spirals, and so we were moving, and the energy was, I'm quivering just thinking about it, it's absolutely phenomenal, and partially it's just tough, people who do that ritual have been practicing for years, and are really well practiced in dealing with huge groups of people, and the ritual work is very generalized. It's about celebrating the holiday. It's not about doing really deep personal work. It's more oriented generally towards raising large amounts of energy, which you can do brilliantly with 1,500 people, and putting it out into the world for world peace. And so I think that spiritual practice within any group is inclusive practice always, and that it can be done with huge groups of people, that it just takes the people who are organizing it need to be really focused on practice. And also, the edges do get blurry when you have that many people on something. Maybe that's okay to not have everyone be quiet and controlled and be very focused.
Just come back here, Benny. if you folks could describe your favorite ritual and maybe really quickly what made it good.
I can go so right into what you were saying. My favorite ritual is doing my current favorite ritual. I think it was an SNF, I'm not sure if it's the Willis party. A couple of years ago, we were at the tail end of part of the ritual. There was this, there's a cauldron on the altar. We were pulling energy up, releasing, pulling energy from the ground, releasing it to the sky. And anything you danced through during the night that you felt you still wanted to get rid of, there was a cauldron on the altar, there was a paper, there was a pencil. And at a certain point, as part of the closing, we were going to be burning those papers to get rid of that last little bit. Okay, fast forward to the morning, Dave and I are hanging out someplace, and all of a sudden, you know, Vanessa, there's a fire on the altar. Okay, go be over to the altar.
Maybe one or two more? Yeah. Good idea.
I've had
maybe a few more favors? Julie? No, go ahead. Okay. Yeah. I would have to say that one of my own favorite rituals is along those lines. At the Gathering of the Tribes a couple years ago, Peyton was there also for this ceremony. We participated in a ecstatic dance workshop going through the five rhythms as taught by Gabriel Roth. And after going through this amazing dance ritual, we ended up in a spiral dance with must have been 100 people all in the room there. All of us had been going through some really heavy workshops together, like this, but heavier. It had been a couple of days. And this was the first time that I'd actually seen a spiral dance work. I'd been to a few parties where it was attempted, but fell apart really quickly. And here, I don't know how long we kept going. Very long time. And hug in the middle. And how did it start? I think somebody started oming, and then some other tones came in, and we were alternating between oming and higher pitched tones, and that went on for a very long time. It was a really amazing experience, and Willie is seriously waving his hand back. I remember it till it's a few. Yeah. In our last few minutes, Yelsey, right, I'm sorry, and then Alex. Thank you. and then I think that'll be, then I think we'll have to wrap up. A couple other last words from the panel?
I would like to kind of just invite you all to join me in just a little bit of energy work that I've been doing with myself, and maybe with all of you now. Every time I feel like moving my body and doing physical exertion is a sacred practice for myself, whether it be exercising or doing sports or dancing. And I like to think about that I'm making this energy go towards something, and you know, in the current moment, I've been making that energy go towards world peace and just basically that. And so, just as an invitation, and I feel like that kind of ritual you can really personalize and you can share as a community, and it's not really located in any kind of specific thing other than just your thoughts, basically. So.
All right, thank you. We now have 7 minutes until, what's that?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, good idea. Let's do that.
Yeah.